We're three's us, there's three of us. We're weird as f***ing, that's our deal. This could go anywhere, so buckle up and three's us, take the wheel.
I know it hasn't been very long, but I'm going to read more band names to you.
Oh, nice.
This has been a fun little project because, like, the more people get looped in, the more submissions I get.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You get submissions.
I get submissions from guest bad band name creators.
There you go.
And I just want to say, we're going to do a shout out after this, mm-hmm. and you at home can pitch bad band names to us. We'll read them out loud if they're bad enough.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to do a couple, then we'll shout them out, and then I'll continue the list.
Yeah, of course.
It's time to meet your milker.
What?
It's time to meet your mommy milkers. Yeah,
it's time to meet your milker.
It threw That's me good. Off so much that I kind of like it, but I also hate it at the same time.
All right. We have boys who cuck girls who cuck girls who cuck boys.
Yeah, yeah. I was there for the creation of that one. That was that was a crazy
wait,
one.
Wait, I don't
yeah.
even understand what the origin of
it's,
that
it's
one is.
It's boys who fuck girls who fuck girls who fuck boys, I think, right?
Okay.
Is it fuck? Sorry, boys who love girls who
like.
Love,
or like.
Oh, boys who like. Sorry, I went too far with it. Boys who like girls who like girls who like boys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boys who cuck girls who cuck girls who cuck boys, right?
Wow.
I kind of forget if I've said these ones, so let me know if I've already done this one, but Queef Bourguignon.
That's a good one, yeah. Queef Bourguignon.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Okay, I feel like good. We have done the substitution of beef with queef, though. I think that's
okay,
happened
yeah,
before.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Queef Stroganoff,
okay.
Yeah.
We have Look Me in the Ass.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Very straightforward. That
was, yeah, very low hanging, yeah.
Our friend Michael submitted Deaf in One Ass.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Was it? Is it deaf in one ass with an F? Yeah, yeah.
Deaf in one ass. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said death. DEATH.
No. Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying like for sure in one butt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Deaf.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Deaf in one ass. Yeah.
And then this is the one that I've laughed the hardest at recently, which is racist peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And then Daniel fucking reacted to it in our text chain Reese's Puffs.
Yeah.
And it's like, Daniel, walk us through what that ad is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so the ad is like, I don't really remember a lot, but I remember the song.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hyped. This kid was excited that candy was now breakfast cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Reese's Puffed the cereal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was singing along to the song. And I just thought about, you know, Mace's contribution. I couldn't get this out of my head.
And it,
but basically, it goes, racist puffs, racist puffs.
Racist puffs.
Beat them up, beat them up, beat them up, beat them up.
Yeah. So Reese's Puffs, that was like I guess a jingle for them in an ad.
Yeah. Reese's Puffs. Reese's Puffs.
That's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The last one I'm going to say to you is walk a mile in another man's poo.
Shouldn't it be a walk a mile in another man's poos?
Yeah, like multiple poos.
Yeah, it should be. You're
either
right.
way, I mean, it's you know, because like, is it literally just that his shit stretches for a mile, or is it that like you have shit on your feet and then the shit just stays for a mile? Yeah,
there's miles, and you should probably not judge them until you've walked in 1 mile of it at least.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. So this is the thank you for that, Mason. This is the shout out for the week. This is Malicious White Boy.
Oh.
White boy.
Yeah, what a name. On Instagram, they say, okay, you can ban me from shoutouts after this. Actually, it's funny because they corrected themselves. Originally, it accidentally said, you can ban me from shootouts.
Oh, God.
I'm going to ban you from shootouts.
I think everyone should be banned from shootouts. Yeah, okay. After this, if you want, because I've had a lot of fun with them, but I just wanted to let the podcast know that a poem I wrote was just published in my school's newspaper, and I'm so happy about it.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I know it's not that important because not many people will read it, but I've never had anything published before, and it's such a big deal for me. Aww.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
Don't say it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
That Adam poem loved... didn't exist before you,
and it
exists because of you.
Yeah.
Sorry, quick, like, side tangent.
Yeah.
That unlocked one of my memories as a middle schooler. Like in our language arts class or whatever, we had to write a poem every month.
Hell yeah.
And I was just like, okay, whatever. And like 1 month, my teacher was like, hey, Daniel, I submitted your poem for like this library's contest.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, why? And then after a while, they contacted me. They're like, hey, you won. And I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, wow.
And this
is awesome.
For a poem that I just like threw together like the night before because it was going to be late. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick. Malicious White Boy, congratulations. Yeah, that is certainly a genuine accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah. You also don't know what it's going to lead to, you know? Like who knows? Like, what if that's just the beginning of your bright poetry career, you know? Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it means that someone looked at something original that you made and was like, you know what? That's fucking dope. And then it like affected them. And that's the whole point of making art.
Yeah.
They decided more people need to see it.
Yeah. And congrats to middle school Daniel too. You know,
Daniel, this is a little overdue, but good job.
Yeah, good Thanks. Job. Yeah, I think I did a similar thing. Not chasing congrats here, but like I also submitted a poem for like a book that was like published when I was in middle school, and it was like young minds poetry thing. I wonder if I have it somewhere. Anyway, so it sounds like we're all a bunch of poets except for Mason. Haha, eat shit.
Yeah. I've never written a poem that got positive attention, only horrible attention.
Hey, it's okay. Mason's written a pilot for a TV show, so that's a little bit cooler than a poem.
That's about the same.
I wrote a poem in middle school and the library called me just to tell me how fucking terrible it was.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't even know how they got it.
Is this my private journal?
Daniel, you said that was from your language arts class. Do you by chance know anything about love languages?
Oh,
hell
that
yeah.
That was good, man.
Thank you.
That was good.
I think the moment you said language arts, I was like, there it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
So this is labeled as hot take time, but the plot twist is that this is completely real.
Yeah.
I thought I may have talked to you guys about love languages before, like specifically what I'm going to talk about now. But
sure.
Apparently love languages is not like a established thing.
Oh, like
it was just something that was made up by this guy who wrote a book. And it was like a Christian attempt to make wives, sleep with their husbands more.
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Mm. So like, That's what the physical touch love language is.
Yeah, right.
And like, if you notice, a lot of guys' love language would be physical touch, and girls would
blowjobs.
Yeah, would be something. And so, like, the whole idea is like, oh, they show they love you by doing your love language. Now you should show that you love them.
Sure.
Blowjobs.
Oh, that sucks. I did not know that.
It makes me pretty sad.
I think I knew that it was like made up by an author. But like, I just kind of assumed it was like the generation name thing where those aren't actually like official. They're just come up with by individual writers and they stick.
I think because it does make sense, though, because acts of service is a very religious sounding thing, like serving others. Yeah. Like, I don't think people say
setting up chairs.
Yeah.
For service.
Yeah. Yeah. And
sending memes.
Yeah. I guess the other tell that it was made by a Christian author was that premarital sex isn't one of the love languages. Yeah. but yeah, anyway,
my love language is premarital sex.
My love language is sending like cute animals back and forth via text chain.
Yeah. What is that? Which one does that count as? Yeah.
I love premaritals. I'm sorry, Mason. This is how I have to show that I love you.
So your thought process is that it's all a bunch of baloney.
I'm pretty sure like that's actually what it is.
Right.
I mean, I feel like it got co-opted by the public into something that's like not at least 100% bullshit, right? Like,
yeah, but
maybe
like,
it is though.
Maybe if we took out physical touch, because I feel like it's just such a low hanging like, oh yep, that's my love language.
Hand jobs, yay.
Yeah. Well, because I guess there are some people who aren't as interested in physicality.
That's true. But I feel like most men.
Yeah.
Like that's the potato.
I feel like,
well,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say physical touch is definitely a like top three at least. I think when anyone ever has to say like which of their five languages they are, love languages they are, like I think physical touch is like top three for sure every time.
Just in case someone at home doesn't know exactly what we're talking about,
I'm gonna regurgitate
like what I think is the mainstream understanding of what love languages are, whether it's what the author intended or not.
Mm-hmm.
Love language is the concept that, depending on the individual you are loving on, I'm already fucking this up. there are like five categorical ways to show love, and like the individual you're dealing with might resonate with like one over the others. And so you can love them more effectively in the relationship. I don't know what's happening to my accent.
Yeah, you're like effectively. Yeah, yeah.
If you like switch up your approach to cater better to their love languages, it also can explain why they're not receiving certain things you're trying to do in the relationship. And the categories are physical touch,
premarital sex,
acts of service, quality time.
Gift giving.
Gift giving and
premarital sex. Sorry.
acts of service.
Over the pants hand jobs.
Gift giving.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. Yeah, there it is. There it is. And like when I first heard this, I was like, I don't know, in like high school or college or something. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not really big on gift giving. And I think that's just because I grew up in a household that didn't have a lot of spare cash rolling around. And so I was like, I guess I don't care about that. But like, you know, now that I'm an adult, I like do really appreciate it when people get me gifts. And I don't know, I feel like all of those categories should resonate with most people. Like, I think it's kind of weird to be like, oh no, I don't give a shit about quality time with my partner.
Right, because
I'm so fucking touch oriented. That's like a weird idea.
Right.
You're washing my dishes, but I don't care.
I
don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't care about that.
Yeah. I think because I know that a lot of people have preferences for what they like to receive or how they like to receive love, and then also differently how they like to give it, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably still some like relevancy or like, you know, something to take away from it. It just made me really sad to find out what the origins of it was.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I feel like it can be molded into something useful, like something, something vaguely oriented toward conventional wisdom. Like, hey, are you making sure that the way you are loving your partner is well-rounded? And also, are you properly appreciating all the things your partner is trying to do for you? But that's kind of polishing a turd, though, isn't it?
I mean, it is true, though, that like you have to have to some extent like a good combination of those five. Like you can't really bank on just one, especially not physical touch. You know, like you can't bank on that being your only way that you express love to people.
Have I talked? Oh, sorry, Daniel.
I was just going to say, like, I also think that it gives people a tangible way to view their love. Not saying that love should be like measurable, but like now, instead of just being like, you know, I love them so much, it's like, how do you like you know,
express that?
And then you can think of these categories. Oh, like, this is how I show love to a person,
right? Like,
Have I talked on the podcast before about like the theory of love that I was taught in college by a like a theater philosopher kind of director?
I don't think so. Let's hear it.
I love this mental model. It's not like meant to be an authority, but like if this resonates with you, it's good, I think. So the idea is that love has at least three key preconditions. And if you don't meet those conditions, you can't have true love, or like you can't have a lasting love, you know? And the three pillars are feeling safe, feeling seen, and feeling nurtured. And like I might be fudging the exact details of each category here a little bit, but essentially feeling seen is that you feel like your partner sees you the way you want to see yourself. So like, for example, like Danny is a musician, Daniel's a musician, like Daniel, I don't know if you resonate with this, but like imagine you're with someone, and although everything's good in the relationship, they like don't in any way acknowledge that you have valid music and art skills, which is a part of how you see yourself, even though it might not be the most obvious headline of you. Like on a dating profile, you might list your job or something, you know, but like you might not feel like that title fully encapsulates you. There's other aspects of yourself. And like if your partner didn't acknowledge those things, or if they kind of like looked down on it a little bit, you know, it would be kind of a bummer, and it would feel wrong to build a full life with them
kind
if that was their
problem.
Attitude.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, like I live in the art world, and there's a lot of people out there who date artists who are trying to make it out here, mm-hmm. right? And they kind of passively feel like that artist will eventually give up and just like go get a regular job.
Oof.
And like in their mind, that's not a mean thought, but like when those artists inevitably find out that that's how their partner sees them, they usually are like really offended because they don't see them the way they see themselves, you know?
Yeah.
There's not an inherent belief in your abilities, yeah. I guess.
At that point, to love someone properly, you need to learn how they want to be seen and see them that way yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The second condition is feeling safe. This one's kind of self-explanatory, but mm-hmm. like on an emotional and physical level,
mm-hmm.
if you can't make them feel safe, then you have no business loving them, you know?
Yeah.
And if something about them feels precarious, then it's going to be really hard to sustain love. And then the third category is feeling nurtured, which I take to mean, I hope I'm remembering this right, which is just feeling like they give you like the additive stuff that you want out of a relationship and need to keep growing yourself. And like, cause like none of us are in our final form yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
And we need to feel like our partner brings us closer to that final form rather than further away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Or feeling like they're stagnating us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship that you like, here's something that happened to me. I was in a relationship that started in high school mm-hmm. and it clearly reached a point where all we really knew how to do was tread water at that maturity level sure. of a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like once I was in college, it was really apparent that like how I want to progress maturity wise was not going to happen with this person.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can do all three, you can be in love. And if you lack any of them, you cannot be in love. That's the theory.
Whoa, there we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I dig it. I dig it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's like love languages. It was invented by me to sleep with people.
Sleep with me.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone sleep with me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you.
The first
yeah.
pillar of love is you got to be a banging hottie.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second pillar is that you love me.
Yeah, yeah. Me and me. Yeah, yeah.
Me.
Yeah, well, I would very much rather have love than anything else,
very
Mason.
Good,
yeah, what
you're,
would...
You're the transition master today.
Oh, today I apparently am. They're not even my things either. I'm just like, hey, let me love... That's my love language. To you guys is that I'm giving you good transitions. Yeah,
I want to do something far less serious than Daniel's valid insight on love.
Yeah, we always gotta have that push and pull of like serious and not serious. It's kind of a staple.
But have
of
you considered stupid?
Yeah.
We're just gonna do something we've done before.
Sure.
I want us to play Would You Rather,
mm-hmm.
but I want us to like not be able to plan the Would You Rathers. Uh-huh. So we're gonna go to. The Would You Rather questions website or whatever.
Yeah, we found that there was like a random generator for Would You Rather prompts.
Okay, yeah. I just pulled up a Teen Vogue article that has 275 nice.
Hell yeah, Teen
questions.
Vogue. It's gonna be like, would you rather dye your hair blue or, you know, and you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Let me see if I can find any here. You two are also welcome to like open your web browsers and find something.
Would you rather...
Yeah. Hmm.
Would you rather have sex covered chocolate or chocolate covered sex?
Oh, chocolate sex, covered sex, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Is sex covered chocolate just cum?
Yes, it's chocolate with cum on it. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I don't really want it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Stop it. Get out of my head.
Tell me that wasn't a good starter. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Would you rather be an older child or a younger child?
Hmm. There's value to both.
Me and Daniel are younger childs, and Danny is the oldest child.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, we have multiple insights here.
Danny, how do you feel it's been being the older child?
I think my experience might be a little different from other older children, where I feel like some older children, they're like, they lament the fact that they were kind of the one that was experimented on, you know, like they're the ones where like their parents don't know how to parent yet because you're the first one. So they're like, I don't fucking know. And so there's like a chance.
The first image
that,
I thought of was gene splicing and weird bullshit. Like, fucking
I went
scientist.
To like World War II.
Right.
Like,
right.
Experiment.
But you know what I mean? Like, so it was like, I think by the time that they get to the younger kids, they've at least it ain't their first rodeo, you know? But I like being I think maybe also too, the downfall or the negative of it might be that you've also, a lot of older siblings, including myself, have had to, be a mild caretaker when parents are not around or had to babysit, you know, like there's an added level of responsibility with being the older kid.
Also, another thing is like, I feel like it's pretty common for parents to be much more strict with the first child.
Yes.
Because they don't know how strict they need to be yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the later ones, they're like, oh, yeah, we got the
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you experienced that, but I feel like it's pretty common.
I'd say so, yeah.
Being younger, though, sorry about that.
Oh, no, you can't talk, yeah.
Yeah, I like being younger. I think
I like being younger too.
Being the baby, you know, double edged sword. But most people love babies, and babies can do whatever they want. So
I think truly, it seems to be agreed upon that on the whole, middle child is the worst.
Oh, definitely.
yeah. Middle child syndrome
There's
is like
an
a thing.
Entire
yeah.
show about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I like being a younger child. I like having not only, you know, parents who have perhaps grown a little wiser since the first kid, but also I like having that older sibling as a model to learn from.
Yeah.
Because, like, I definitely did some learning from my brother, not directly from my parents. And there are things that I like about myself in the modern day that I can chalk up to things my brother taught me to do or role modeled for me.
Yeah.
And I like that about being younger. I have another would you rather.
All right, let's do it.
Ooh, okay.
Would you rather everything you sung become harmonized with?
Oh.
Or would you rather everything you doodled came to real life?
Oh my gosh. Oh, holy shit.
Doodle Bob.
Yeah, Doodle Bob. I mean that second one, because like, well, so if I feel like that gets so fucking annoying if people like harmonize with you every time you sang ever.
I'm gonna hot swap the first one.
Okay.
Every food you imagine becomes like something you know how to cook. Like right
away.
Whoa.
Because like the second one's pretty cool still, the drawing one. It could be kind of dangerous though. What if every time you sign your name?
Downsides of the first one?
Yeah, the downsides of the first one seems great.
You're right.
Yeah.
Fuck. I fucked this up.
I feel like the second one has like more power though, you know? Like the second one you could do more cool shit with. Like you could be like, I'm gonna draw.
Is there any equivalent
to
doodling something that becomes real?
The food you prepare tries to kill you afterward. I don't know. Oh,
every animal you interact with can talk now.
Oh, it's
your
like
Dr. Doolittle or your Dr. Doodle-little.
It is I, Dr. Doodle-little.
Dr. Animals or your own drawings like a fucking psycho.
Oh, man. I guess maybe animals. That could be kind of cool.
Don't worry about this one.
Yeah.
This one sucks.
I like it.
Do you guys have any?
Well, I mean, chocolate covered sex covered chocolate was kind of where my peak. Oh my gosh, I feel like I should.
It's okay. I'm gonna keep looking. Would you rather have lots of accomplishments and be known but broke, or fail at everything you do and be unknown no matter what, but filthy rich?
I feel like we had something similar to this.
Yeah,
before.
I think we have.
Okay,
yeah.
This one's really easy for me. Now. I'd rather be accomplished and broke.
Yeah.
Oh really? Oh, I'd rather be rich.
I'd rather be accomplished and broke.
Well, I think it actually kind of speaks to I think what Daniel is like pursuing in life might be different from Mason and myself.
That's
in
true.
The sense that like
that's true
like yeah. Daniel, I do think you'd be very happy if like nobody knew who you were on like a fame level, but you were very wealthy. You could have all that fuck you money that you want, and then but Mason and I think want to like have like a well-known reputation for something in terms of like entertainment. I don't know. Yeah, I mean like it's definitely, you can go either way, but
all right,
I got
would
one.
You rather
yeah Daniel
oh,
go
yeah,
for
please,
it
Daniel.
Would you rather be extremely allergic to your favorite food or forced to eat your least favorite food once a week?
Ooh.
I'll go allergic to my favorite. Oh, fuck. Actually, I thought about it, though.
Yeah. What is like, your, I know one of your, like your favorite meals is like country fried steak, right? Is like,
yeah,
one of your, yeah.
Yeah. Like I have a list. So my first thought was I'm down to forfeit my most favorite because I have so many like other favorites.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I love, you know, burgers, sushi, steak,
pasta,
things like that.
Yeah.
Asian. No, sorry. Me and Danny did a food list a long time ago.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was
one
the rankings
of, one of
thing,
the
yeah.
categories after like potatoes was Asian.
Yeah, it was Asian really food. Yeah, yeah.
anyway, Fuck. But then I pictured not being allowed to eat sushi ever again.
Yeah.
I think I'd go for the bad one. I think I'd go for the bad food.
Yeah, I think it depends on what it is. Because, like, if it's, like, for Mason and me in particular, like, the world's fucking hottest pepper, then, like, we're dead. We're done for. Ooh. But, like, if it's just, like, a... Because I think the food I probably hate the least, I wouldn't like vomit at these days. I don't know.
How much of it do I have to eat?
I don't know.
Enough to make you full, like a meal's worth.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I was thinking about like the really gnarly delicacy foods where if you're not used to it, it's probably
like balut.
Balut.
Like what?
Balut's
the half developed embryo of a duck.
Yeah, duck embryo from the Philippines.
Oh, I could be okay with that. But see, the thing is, like, I don't want to eat so many. Like, I've eaten enough to get full once a week. That's pretty rough.
Yeah, I think I'd probably I'd sacrifice my favorite food.
How many do you think they would eat of those in like in one sesh?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So I feel like it's probably more than one, right? But it's not going to be like.
Yeah,
million.
I'm going number one for sure. I'll get rid of, I don't know, pulled pork sandwiches. I'll
Oh yeah, okay. Danny's a little slut for pulled pork.
I love pulled pork sandwiches with a side of sweet potato fries. Oof, chef's kiss. Yeah,
interesting.
It's also I'll probably just be healthier too if I don't eat those forever.
No, I'm eating the shit once a week thing.
Yeah, okay.
As long as it's not like horse shit.
Oh yeah, it's got to be like real human food.
It's got to be like edible. Would you rather everyone laugh at your jokes forever but not find anyone else's jokes funny?
Whoa.
Or have no one laugh at your jokes ever but you still find other people's jokes funny?
Oh, like I won't find anything else funny.
You're never gonna find a joke someone else tells funny.
Okay. I thought originally the way it was phrased sounded like everyone will laugh at your jokes but never laugh at other people's jokes. Like other people will never laugh at
you personally will never enjoy other people's jokes.
I'll do the second
one. Everyone totally will always laugh at yours.
Yeah.
I can totally see myself taking the first one and just adopt like growing a complex of just being like, I'm the best.
Oh yeah.
Ever.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I feel like funny. I'm funny.
Yeah. I think the first one comes with an ego for sure. I would go the second one probably.
There are like nuances I'm curious about, but I don't want to be unfun and ask about them. So I think my gut says the second one for me too.
I've told you guys about how both of you are two of the main reasons why my sense of humor is the way that it is right now. I feel like I absorbed your guys's as well as other people's sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of goes to show every once in a while because I think I find myself doing things that I learned from one of the two of you or someone else.
I mean, same.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Mason, for that Would You Rather. And with that is also the end of the Threesis podcast episode. I'm glad we kind of brought it back to something silly and stupid. As we always kind of do, I think we always kind of end on a pretty stupid note. So, Daniel, with that, what would you like to say?
I would rather love you and have nothing to that I can do.
Nothing
you
for you to do.
Nothing for you to do. Yeah.
That's Daniel's love language.
I love you and you have no current tasks currently.
Yeah. No tasks. Good job. Currently. Good job. All right. Bye all.
Bye.